We are energized, ready to go, feeling it, feeling fresh, feeling feisty on this day. And we are bringing you a bomb.com song that actually recently came out. And I'm sure you all are loving it. It is called King by Florence and the Machine. Florence plus the Machine. Florence and the Machine. And we do have to share with you some really cool news we have been hyped about. So I'm sure you all listened to our last episode, Not True by Julia Nunez. If you haven't, go listen now.
Our queen!
Yes. Annie, what happened? Why are we so excited about this?
She commented on our Instagram post, and then we responded to her, and she replied again and was, I don't remember the exact words, but we assume she listened to the episode based on her comment.
She was literally like, oh, wow, on our post. And I messaged Annie. I was like, did you see? And I think she had gone to bed maybe. And then the next morning, she's like, what are you talking about? And then we sent her a comment, obviously being like, we love you, we're obsessed with you, blah, blah, blah. And then she, because it basically meant that she listened to our episode, which has us frazzled.
Yeah, I'm like nervous now because I usually black out everything I say in an episode. I'm like, I hope I sounded smart enough for her to love us.
Yes.
I think we literally said in the episode, we want her to be our best friend.
Yeah. And
interesting how she hasn't asked us to hang out yet. But
I know. Well, we need to invite her on the pod, obviously. But
That's true.
She goes, you guys kind of nailed it. And then that emoji, which is now our new favorite emoji, where it's the smiling face, but the tear. So,
It's like, I already loved her so much because I love every one of her songs. Mm-hmm. And then she comments that, and I'm like, you are my best friend now, and I love you till the day I die.
We're overwhelmed. Julia Nunez, drop new music challenge, basically.
Please.
Yeah.
For us.
We're also, I think, a little bit fired up, too, because we both have concerts coming up. We are just thriving.
Yes.
I'm seeing Beach House. By the time this episode comes out, I'll have seen Beach House.
Which I know you're very excited about, right? This is a band on the, like, list of people you've really wanted to see.
B-list, yes. And I've been, you know, bumping their tunes for the past couple of days. It's, like, the set list came out, and it's pretty rockin'. All of my faves are nearly on there. I know I'm gonna have a good time. And I think they tweeted something, actually. We just started touring, and every night when we go on stage, seeing a cloud of people smoking is, like, the best thing or whatever. Which is so funny, because BTS is the band that you get high to, you know? So, good stuff.
Oh my gosh,
good
I love
stuff.
That.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It is. But who are you seeing?
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing Band Camino with some friends on Saturday. I don't know them as well as the people I'm...
You have friends that aren't me?
Mm-hmm. So is the girl going to a concert with a friend that isn't me. This goes two ways.
No. But Band Camino sounds cool.
Yeah. So I don't know them as well as the people I'm going with do. But I've been studying. I've been getting into the books, preparing for the test, and I am determined to have fun. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have fun. So
that attitude, you sure are. I hope we're you know, manifesting Pit for both of us, like right in front of the band.
Oh yeah, hopefully.
I don't know if I want that necessarily. I feel like it's been a minute since I've been in Pit.
Sometimes I do, depending on the group, kind of like being in the back.
Yeah.
Because then I'm near the bar.
Yes.
And
valid.
I have dancing room. But
this is true.
We'll see.
We'll report back after we go to these.
We'll report
these concerts.
Back.
Yeah.
But I guess we should slip on over to our first segment.
Let's
just
slip and slide
on in.
Ew.
To Bop Talk.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Oh my gosh. Would you like to start?
I'll start. Because, I mean, start with the best, right?
Obviously.
Okay.
Because I suck.
No self-deprecation on my watch. Thank you. So.
No, only you're the only one allowed to insult me. I'm sorry. I forgot.
Okay, here we are with Only Child by Tierra Whack. I don't know if that's her real last name, but that's a cool last name, Whack.
Ooh, she's got a cool vibe.
Yeah. You ain't never think about nobody but yourself. Selfish, but I really can't wait until you're gonna need my help. Helpless, you ain't never think about nobody but yourself. Selfish, but I really can't wait until you're gonna need my help. Helpless,
you must be the only child because you're you're so stingy. I just wanna go fuck wild. Well, you don't defend me. I've been on the fucking prowl. I've been counting 50.
What do we think?
Yeats. Yeah, no, it's a cool vibe. Yeah. I like the sound of it. It's like chill, but it's still got good something beat, yeah. Pushing it forward. Yeah.
Love that. Something pushing it forward.
Pushing it forward.
Me with my life. And then, you know, I think he's actually quite popular, Russ, but this is like one of the first songs of his that I actually really like and have heard a lot. My younger sister showed it to me, but the cool thing about this one, it's called Handsmer, but it's the Caitlyn remix. And Russ put his, I don't know the proper term on TikTok, but the duets on? Yeah. Is that what it's called when you, like, put someone's video and then you, like, do a remix of or add on to the song? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah. He put his duets on and, like, a bunch of people duetted it, but Caitlyn's really blew up and they actually made this song, like, available and it's been doing the charts. It's really popular right now.
I know I'm fine, but the money makes me handsomer. Walk around smelling like a come up in the answer for her problems, but I'm not him. I don't mind it, though. You don't like me how you think you do, I like it though. I know I'm fine, but the money makes me handsomer. Walk around smelling like a come up in the answer for her problems, but I'm not him, I don't mind it though. You don't like me how you think you do, I like it though. Look, I know I'm fine.
I won't lie, that extra coin don't hurt, but I guess money, baby, I'd just rather spend yours first. I know for sure the pussy worth more than an Hermes purse. I got the best on earth, so that dick better come with some perks. Yeah, you fine, and the money caught my eye too. But there's a big difference between you and my side, dude. You be all up in between them thighsies who I lie to. You get my titties in your face, he's getting side boo. Yeah,
I know I'm fine. But the money makes me handsomer. Walk around smelling like a come up in the answer for her problems, but I'm not him, I don't mind it though. You don't like me how you think you do, I like it though. I know I'm fine, but the money makes me handsomer.
It's quite short, but I just wish she had more. It's so good.
Bars.
Is that all you have to say? Do you love it? Are you obsessed with it? Are you gonna overplay it?
This is not a song that I would like find on my own to listen to. But like the rhythm of it, okay. Slays. They're both killing it. And I loved the lines too. I love when she's like, I'll spend your money. I'm like, yeah.
But I feel like I consistently bring these weird ones that you're like, that's not for me, but I like that you love it.
It's like good. I mean, it's a song, yeah. I would listen to again.
Okay, cool.
But it's just like funny because it's out of the... It would never be something like Spotify would recommend to
me.
No,
I bet not.
I really only have one song to bring today that I thought was worthy of your ears, Aww. Shannon.
I'm excited.
Which also, I'm pretty sure part of it is a TikTok sound as well.
Ooh, TikTok. Can you pay us to promo all these artists?
I know. Honestly. We're just killing it. But I love the song It's All I Ever Asked by Rachel Chinnuri. I don't know if that's how you pronounce the name. Chinnuri? Yeah. To it.
I know, I really enjoy that. I don't know why, but I can actually so clearly like see that song playing live and it feels like I'm listening to it just dancing at an outdoor like music festival or something. I really like
yeah.
that. Yeah.
It's like I love driving listening to it, and I love walking my dog listening to it, because it just like has the good energies of like bopping down the street. It's
very sunshiny.
I also just love that line in the first verse that's like, are you the problem or the purpose? I just think that's a cool line.
That is such a lit line. That's something you'd see in like, you'd hear in a lit class. Ask yourself, are they the problem or the purpose?
That alliteration, baby.
We love that. We came to play with Bob Talk this week.
I know.
Wow. And we came to play with the song this week. Oh my god. This is
King. Which honestly, choosing King in some ways is a cop out to me, because not because of the content of the song, because I fucking love the song, but because I have never known how to choose a Florence and the Machine song because I have so many favorites, because they're one of my, all, like, Florence Welch is my frickin', I was gonna say queen, but she's my king. She's my king. And so now I'm like, well, she's putting out new music. We can just do King, because I can't choose between her old albums.
I just am very excited for this song. And it's been on a loop today. I've been in the car a lot today, and this is just like,
it's such a good loop song.
No, exactly. And like, it goes effortlessly into each other. Like, it's not an abrupt stop or whatever. Mm-hmm. But can you give us some background and flow, Florence?
Oh, yes.
Because, I mean, artist as in one person or band as in multiple people? I'm sure a lot of people are wondering.
So, Florence Welch is an English singer. She's the lead vocalist and primary songwriter for Florence and the Machine. She originally started it with one of her friends who is the drummer. And I do not remember if the drummer is still a part of it. I should have fact-checked that. But so it is a band, but she is kind of the lead person on it. She's the most notable person. And I think other parts of the band kind of swap out.
Mm-hmm. Let us take a moment to say that we would both very much like wigs of Florence Welch's hair.
Oh, my God. Yeah. If I could have Florence Welch's hair, I'd be set for life. So Florence and the Machine is known as, like, kind of an indie rock band, but their genre is hard to define. I think it would be a disservice to them to not note some of the other genres like Baroque pop and chamber pop, which I think are very heavy in her music.
Cool.
Art rock and indie pop, et cetera, et cetera. Because I think Florence...
Dog Days Are Over was an indie staple of the, early mid 2000s.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So that's fair to say. 2010s. For sure.
Yeah. So they have 4 albums out at this moment. Lungs was their first debut studio album in 2009, and followed by Ceremonials in 2011, then How Big, How Blue, How Beautiful, 2015, and then High as Hope in 2018. All of them have received bunches of awards and or been listened to a bunch. Like, she's a pretty notable, technically starting out as indie, but she is not indie, really. I mean, like, sound-wise indie, but she's popular.
I actually so clearly remember High Hope coming out when we were friends, because I remember Hunger, you just loving Hunger.
Yeah, Hunger is one of my fave songs. I love Hunger, because that was an example of how Florence Welch can talk about things that are really personal to her. That was her talking about and addressing in some ways her eating disorder from when she was younger. And she's done that with other themes and other songs, talking about her struggles with depression, anxiety, alcoholism. And so it's really cool how she can create these really, I don't know, just atmospheric, cool pieces, but also be really kind of honest in this obscure, interesting way. But now we have King, which is meant to be on her 5th studio album titled Dance Fever.
Love that title.
Set to be released in May. So it'll become my whole personality, I'm sure.
Well, yes. And correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, yeah, I'm sure it will. But you've seen Florence the Machine twice, or just the...
I have.
Okay, yeah. I'm probably going to be a third, I'm sure, once they release tour dates. I'd love to see Florence the Machine.
I know. I got, like, a pre-sale thing to my email, but all of her concerts are obviously that she has coming out are in London. And I'm like, do I fly to London? No. Cannot afford it.
That'd be a cool trip.
But... yeah, no, I've loved Florence the Machine for a really long time. Like, I discovered them when I was in, like, middle school.
Whoa!
Yeah, so when I talk about how much I love her, it's also because I've listened to her for so long. Like, I remember every album coming out, and I'll always listen to the new ones. I had her on my freaking iPod Classic, and I think she was one of the first artists that did this thing that I found so interesting. It's like, she has spirituality, and it's kind of witchy, and these weird, different things she can do with music, and it was just so interesting to me. She felt so powerful, I feel like.
We're definitely going to touch on that when we talk about the song, too, but I think she just, besides the band, Florence Welch as a person, has such an iconic look, energy, just, like, aura about her. And she does kind of, for a lot of women, I think in particular, she represents this strong, powerful artist or just like creative person, creative person, I should say. Because not even just like, again, aside from the band, she just as a person seems like such a, just a creative person.
So she also published a book of her poems and art in 2018 too. Yeah.
I have, I think you've actually recommended her book of poetry though to me. I just haven't read it yet, but it looks beautiful from what I've seen, the snippets.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's not like a traditional book of poetry. But I think it's very cool. You can really see her, her artistic mind and how she, her drawings in there and her bits of poems and poetry that you could see, oh, this could be turned into a lyric or whatever, but it's how her brain works. I don't know. Very intriguing. I do want to share a press statement Florence Welch released.
Okay, that sounded so dramatic. Like, I am speaking to the press right now. I need to say something, okay?
I am speaking to the press. But this is was released in relation to some of her new music coming out. And I think it's very illuminating specifically in it, for this song too. So she says, as an artist, I never actually thought about my gender that much. I just got on with it. I was as good as the men and I just went out there and matched them every time. But now thinking about being a woman in my 30s in the future, I suddenly feel this tearing of my identity and my desires. That to be a performer, but also want a family might not be as simple for me as it is for my male counterparts. I had modeled myself almost exclusively on male performers, and for the first time, I felt a wall come down between me and my idols, as I have to make decisions they did not.
I love that. Just so everyone knows as well, March is International Women's History Month.
Oh, hell yeah.
So perfect timing, yeah.
Yeah, I had seen another clip where she essentially said something along the lines of Heaven Is Here was the first song she wrote in COVID, and similarly to this press statement she released, she said she had started to try to write in a way that wasn't defined by the male musical idols she'd had for so long, that she was trying to write in a new way that was like distinctly herself, I think, and kind of distinctly female. But so very cool stuff she's doing. I'm super excited to hear this whole album.
Yeah, me too. And it's dropping in May, correct?
Yes, May.
Okay, cool.
We argue in the kitchen about whether to have children, about the world ending and the scale of my ambition, and how much is art really worth. If everything you're best at is the thing that hurts the most, but you need your rotten heart, your dazzling pain like diamond rings. You need to go to war to find material to sing. I am a mother, I'm a bride, I'm a king. I need my golden crown of sorrow, my bloody sword to swing, my empty halls to echo with grand self-mythology. I am no mother, I am no bride. At my skin, I never knew my killer would be coming from within. I am no mother, as a bride, as a king, as a mother, as a bride, as a king.
Oh gosh, the lyrics in this
are just... Stop it!
Chef's kiss good, I know. And the more you listen, at least I find, the more you listen to it, the more you like the song, obviously. But like, you don't get tired of it, which is impressive.
No, it's true. It's just a trance. She just puts me underneath a trance. I'm like, auto replay.
I feel like I was looking at you too while listening to it. And you did look like you were in a trance. So it's funny that you say that. Yeah. Just like from the get-go though, first line, We argue in the kitchen about whether to have children, about the world ending and the scale of my ambition, and how much art is really worth. Those just kind of run the gambit of things to argue about, but also just, like, shows how complex of a person women are, but also just, you know, her.
Yes. I think also all these ideas, such a variety, and there's also, in some ways, knowing, I think, maybe how Florence views this, like, a connection, because arguing in the kitchen about whether to have children, and then about the world ending, that's, like, a common complaint, you know, like, yeah. I'm probably going to bring children into this world, like, the world's shit right now, but then, and the scale of my ambition, knowing Florence's takes and feelings on how she cannot maybe have everything the way certain other, you know, artists or male artists can, and how much is art really worth, which is, not to be, like, pretentious, but when you're creative, I feel like, you know, in a lot of ways, art is kind of like your first love. In Florence, like, she creates music. She creates beautiful, beautiful music. It, in some ways, maybe trumps other things in your life, which would have potentially, fault on a relationship.
Well, it's just too, unfortunately for women, there's always that, like, ticking time or whatever to start a family and stuff, but that doesn't exist for men. And so when you are a female artist all the time, I feel like you have to be successful when you're younger in order to relax a little more when you're, you know, getting older. And, you know, 40's not even old and you can still have kids then. But it's just like, it would be so unexpected. Whereas for a man, that's fine. You don't have to even think about balancing, creating whatever art it is that you feel passionately about and having, like, this personal life separate from your creative.
And as much as it's changing in certain ways, women still do the bulk of domestic duties. It is societally much different for a woman to have children than go on tour and leave her kids somewhere else. You know, and how that backlash would be for her, as opposed to the millions of male artists who have children, leave them with their wife and go on tour and do whatever they want.
But that's exactly it. That's a great point that you just brought up, because I can't even think of anyone off the top of my head, but I'm sure female artists would get asked more, like, oh, do you miss your family? Or, like, talk about your family when they're on tour, whereas male artists probably don't ever get asked that. But there is this weird, like, expectation. So I think that's, like, really interesting. But then the line to the very thing you're best at is the thing that hurts the most. This creative passion and how you give it all, that's not necessarily, like, hurting her the most, but it's hurting her potential ambitions and, like, her personal life of maybe if she does want to become a mom or, you know, give more to a relationship, that has to take a backseat kind of thing, because she's so passionate and involved. Her music is her first love kind of thing.
Yeah. And, I mean, I feel like it's such an interesting way to show your devotion to compare it to war like she does. Like, you need to go to war to find material to sing. Which, in some ways, likening the struggles of her parents' want or partner's wants, desires, and maybe her own versus her art and what has to take precedent. But I think also it kind of plays on that idea of you have to really, like, struggle to be an artist. You have to have experience. You need to be depressed. And it's like, I don't think that's actually true to create good art, but a lot of artists have come from that.
But it's funny that you say you don't think that, because, like, thinking about what we like a lot of the time the most, me and you, it is those, like, really deeply vulnerable and kind of sadder songs. And I think so many artists too think that they make their best music when they are sad, and so they have to go through some kind of pain to get that song that's going to change things for them. So I don't know, I think it's almost like a introspective look, that line of, like, what it is like sometimes in the music industry if you're not making music for the pop radio or whatever, or rap all the time. It is like you have to go through something to get this hit.
That makes sense. Yeah, no, I like phrasing war in that way, too, to think about your personal ambitions versus what is expected of you monetarily and to be famous, popular, quote unquote. And then, of course, we get to the most iconic fucking line of the song.
It hits so hard.
I am no mother, I am no bride, I am king.
King. Just, like, when she was writing that, did she know her power? Because,
Fucking know, but I literally referenced this line in therapy a few weeks ago, being like, I want this just to be my new motto. I don't know.
That's amazing. It would be a great slogan, though, just thinking about it. It's, like, simple but complex at the same time, because I am no mother, what, like, so many women are expected to be. I am no bride, you know, another expectation, which, like, funnily enough, these up-and-coming generations, a lot of them don't want to be parents and they don't want to get married. So that's already kind of, like, turning things on the head. Yeah. I don't know, the I am king, too, is, like, turning the whole gender expectations and, like, standardized views on its head extra, which is also what today's age is all about kind of thing. I mean, historically, in TV shows and books and all that, kings are, like, the end-all, be-all, most powerful. Like, you know, people, and even, like, countries today have kings, and that's, like, the highest of the highest. So the fact that she ends, I am no mother, I am no bride, I am king, like, I can have it all, I do have it all kind of thing. Just,
I love so that. Good. I mean, I think the expectation of mother, bride, is, like, roles that are expected of women, and it's, like, you can want those things, but you shouldn't have to want those things. And, yeah, I love I am king, because it's, like, you think of a king, and they probably do have a wife, they probably do have children, but it's, like, they're not defined by that. They're defined by who they are as a person first, whereas women are often defined by their roles first, or at least in this kind of, you know, phrasing or whatever. There's, like, those tropes of women, too, the virgin, the whore, you know, the mother, and it's, so it's, like, seeing women just as that one role when we're complex individuals. And so I love this, too, because it's, like, you can think about Florence wanting to be able to have all the things she wants or doesn't want, but doesn't also want her career to suffer and doesn't want her, who she is as a person, to suffer. And she's motherfucking king.
That was a genius comment. It's a great point, because most men do have all those things and nobody thinks it's abnormal or out of, you know, the ordinary. Whereas women, even entrepreneurs, how do you balance your home life and having kids and, you know, being having such a great company? Okay, you know, again, like, that's why you're acting like it's some thing that can't be normal for everyone. So that's a really great point. I think that just goes back to, like, weird gender expectations. But Florence is like, no. I say no. I say I am king, but I'm also, I can be mother and I can be bride. But her saying, I'm not
defined by that.
Yeah, yeah. I am no mother. I am no bride, but I am king. Just the crux of the song.
I need my golden crown of sorrow, my bloody sword to swing. I just love the image of that. I love how freaking mythological this piece is. And my empty halls to echo with grand self-mythology. Like, I love that too, because in some ways, like, Florence Welch is, like, we refer to her as a goddess on stage. Like, we talk about her like she is mythology. And so it's kind of cool for her to, like, kind of acknowledge that too. And in some ways be thinking about her self-mythologizing herself too. And understanding her power as an artist, maybe, in comparison to those other routes or labels. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of, which is interesting. I didn't even ever think about her being so self-aware of what, you know, people view her as, but I think you're right. That is, like, seen too in the second verse, especially, what was the line? But a woman is a changeling, always shifting shape. So I don't know. I also think this whole song just gives so much power to, like, women everywhere. And it could just be, like, such a great anthem. Because kind of a lot of times we don't realize our power. But we are so diverse. And, like, this line even says, always can be, you know, changing ourselves to fit, like, what we want.
Like, we're able to adapt and survive. And also, like, acknowledging how being one of those roles doesn't mean that's just, like, all you are. Our desires are able to shift over time. We're allowed to want different things at different points in our lives or be different versions of ourselves, and that's, like, fine.
Yeah.
I think the line, what strange claws are these scratching at my skin? I never knew my killer would be coming from within, is so interesting, and it's so good. And I don't know, in some ways I feel like it could be kind of read as, like, new desires scratching, trying to come out, that she's kind of unfamiliar with, or maybe a newer version of herself that she wants to be. And I think, thinking about some of the quotes she said about this album, that could be something about that, you know, like, trying to take power of her femininity and create music in a way that only she can, and battle with the potential of wanting things in her life that may be more difficult for her than a male artist. But,
well, I think too, it could just be like how the younger version of yourself maybe wouldn't recognize these wants and desires that an older version of you, you know, it's their everyday life. And I think that's kind of what this strange version of yourself is clawing from within, because, again, we change, we adapt, we are always shifting shape.
Yes!
Oh, woo.
Oh, my God.
So good. No, but I did make a note that I love that when she says, I am no mother, I am no bride, I am king, like the little bit before she says, the pause before she says, I am no king, it feels mm-hmm. almost like deeper and kind of like the way she mm-hmm. says it. I don't know if you get it, and we'll obviously listen to more of it. But
no,
like,
I listened to it again.
Throaty.
After seeing yeah. the comment, like a little bit of yeah. throaty. And I know what you mean. There is something a little bit guttural about it sometimes.
Yeah.
That which has like a bit of edge. It's and I like
yeah.
it.
I think it's cool. And it kind of, again, just plays around maybe with the whole gender thing too.
I need my golden cross of sorrow.
Makes me emotional listening to that and the bridge, because I can just picture her running across the stage when she does this. And I was thinking about what you're saying about throaty. The word for yeah. it is vocal fry. She lets her vocal fry in, which is
what,
like,
does that mean for us people who don't know anything?
Really tired, and think about how your voice gets lower. Vocal fry yeah. is like the that's like a vocal
okay.
fry. And so, like, if you lower your voice in singing a little bit, you can let it in, like, a little bit.
That's
so I think
cool.
that's what she's doing. I think it's vocal fry there.
I feel like I don't ever hear that in songs, so I think it's so cool that she did it.
Yeah. It adds, like, a really interesting texture to it. And I don't think I've thought about, until we were listening to it just now, too, how cool the dual voices is, the layering of two voices in that chorus there, too, when she does, I am no mother, I am no bride. You have the higher version of herself and that lower, throatier version of herself. And it just... fucking slays. That bridge fucking slays.
It does. And then I think the first time I listened to this, I was like, oh, it's over. That was a little anticlimactic. And then I was wrong. And it, like,
yeah,
just
it
next
like dulls
level.
Enough, and you're just like, oh! And you're like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see that live so I can scream along with her. Just,
I know. Oh,
so good. I mean, is she like a headbanger when she performs live? Is she just like a floater?
She's like, literally, she's barefoot. And ooh. Just runs across the stage, flings her
oh
body around.
Oh,
she's
goodness.
Everywhere. I don't even know how she sings, because I would be breathless moving the
That's
way she
amazing.
Moves. But yeah,
same.
So she's so cool. Like, obviously, she's gonna be like flinging her body around. I can't wait.
Also, just I think she really owns and kind of embraces this almost dark imagery. Like, it gives me like Persephone vibes, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, that's how it feels to me. Yeah,
Yeah, and then the last line of this entire song, like, really emphasizes that to me. I was never satisfied and never let me go. Just drag me by my hair and back on with the show. Like, I just, I see this, like, almost violent, like, action, but it's kind of beautiful at the same time.
Yeah, and I think, to me, that's her talking about her art, it feels like, I think. That desire for that art, and it's... I think any artist will tell you that they love it and they hate it, because it can be really difficult when you're not able to produce or not create things up to the standard you have for yourself. And so, like, I just love that too, like, kind of, what's the word for it? Amorphizing it? Making this inanimate thing kind of, maybe that's not the right word. But this intangible feeling, she's kind of personifying it. And being, this thing is what's carrying me around. Like, that's the power it has over me. Truly dragging by my hair and back on with the show. And I think show is interesting, too, because one, we see it as her as a musical artist, obviously. But also, we've talked about all these roles that are performative. And so it's kind of an interesting nod to that, too. Who are we when we're doing this show? Who are we performing for? Or whatever. But
yeah, and also the fact that we don't know everything that... she is as a person. I know she's talked about her eating disorder, her alcoholism, like all these other things. We only know what she's showing us, kind of thing. So the show is, you're right, like her, what she's giving us, listeners, fans, you know, just
what she graces us with.
Anywho, we are faithful listeners. Cannot wait for the whole album to drop. I cannot wait for the tour dates. You are ready. So you're ready for the tour dates. You're like, I've got my code.
I was joking with someone, and I was like, I was starting to feel like I didn't have a personality. And then Florence Machine came out with new music, and I was like, oh, thank God, I have a personality again.
That's actually so funny that you say that. That's hilarious. She's like your, well, no, you have, I think Phoebe and her, I guess, are maybe tied for
what's equivalent. They're probably at my top.
Yeah.
Female artists who I owe my
soul to. They are what Taylor Swift is to many people, to you.
Yeah. Truly. But I guess that brings us to one of our favorite questions usually, which is, what are we going to be listening to next week?
Next week, I think. So you told me about the song, and I kind of am saying let's listen to it next week on a whim, by Pancakes for Dinner by Lizzie McAlpine.
Yeah. Oh, she's another one of our queens. I love Lizzie.
Yeah, she's fun. I like her. And then I think the week after that, we might have a special episode for our listeners.
For our listeners, in honor of our, like, 1 year anniversary.
Yeah, we love that. We're excited about that. So good things in the works.
Yes. So on that note, as always, you can find us at Songs That Send Us on Twitter and Instagram if you want to get the updates on when we're posting stuff. Also, follow us on Spotify if you are listening to us there. Give us a 5-star rating. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, review, rate, all the good things. We love you guys and we appreciate you so much.
Say it with us now. We're gonna love you and leave you.
Yeah.